So, Jeff and Mike, thank you for your messages. I'm so proud. And so, Mike, you got raw. Oh, yeah, you know, you usually teach. But that time you let go of trying to be right, and I saw the influence of this house. You poured your heart, you put it out. And I was like, wow, that's a different dude. That's, yeah. So based on that, I had an experience or a few experiences while I was away that, and when I came home, that I feel changed me again. And after sitting with you guys on the last Men's and Women's Fellowships, and those of you who cut out before those, you're not getting the full course. You don't know what you're missing. Because that's like that real one-on-one time where we get to really share with each other and encourage each other from breast to breast, as the scripture says, and build each other's faith. That it's just not me answering the question, but everybody's answering each other's questions, and we all get to share where we are specifically and grow together. Who would agree?
Yes.
So the word to me before I left, if you remember, was rest. Taking care of my emotional health, physical health. And so when I went away this time, I was already in a place of peace seeking. You know what I mean? In terms of how much I do. Like I said, I shared with you before I left, that God showed me that even though I didn't realize I was stressed because I was doing what I love to do, I still was doing so much. Even when I was sitting still, even in my sleep, I was always, so really focused on that spiritually. I got away, and I shared this with a few people. Usually when you go on vacation, you try to cram so much in. You know, you try to set an itinerary. Okay, well, this day we're going to go to the amusement park. Then from the amusement park, we're going to go out to dinner. And then we're going to go dancing. And then next morning, we're going to get up at 8 o'clock. And we're going to go, and then we're going to go, you know, those of us who do it. Say, oh, and we're going to go sit through one of them timeshare seminars so we can get the free tickets to the this and the movies, right? And give away the 90-minute presentation that winds up becoming 4 hours of your life. You know, to get free tickets to something that you probably could just afford to go to anyway. But nonetheless, we like free stuff, so we go do this kind of stuff. And what I would normally do, I would realize when I would come back from a vacation, is that I would need a vacation from the vacation. You're worn out from trying to do so much that you really didn't rest. Well, this time, it was different. My wife had an itinerary, and we went through all of it, and it was like, we do one thing a day. One thing. And then I'm coming back to my villa. I bought my Roku stick. I'm watching Netflix. I'm laying on the bed. I'm not doing a bunch of stuff. Playing with my grandkids. That's it. So it's what I did. I did. That's what I did. We did one. It was Mocha's graduation. We took him to a water park. He's running around with all his little harem. He's like, all of his friends happen to be girls. Like, wow, I wonder where that came from, right? And so he's running around. He said, Grandpa, you want to come? I'm like, no, you'll go do your thing. I'm just going to get in the wave pool. I don't want to climb up to the top of steps and stand on line for a half hour just to slide down for 30 seconds. That's exercise. I just go get in the wave pool and just wait till the wave comes up and starts splashing me back and forth. And that's what I did. And I hung out with Ariana in the wave pool while they ran around and did the kid stuff. And then I went back to the place and I vegged back out on television. And as the week wrapped up, I saw something had changed again in myself. I got home and I fought not to be back for the next Sunday. It was like, okay, look, we could leave Saturday night. I know check out Sunday, but we leave Saturday night, we could be here by Sunday morning. God was like, you sit your behind right down. Tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday is Father's Day. You just sit down. Get up with your grandkids and your wife and your daughter and go get something to eat and just relax. I'm like, yeah, but I don't even miss two Sundays. God, like, you know how, man, how these, he didn't say N words, but that's my translation. They just get up. I got a picnic. I got to go to my brother's shooting dominoes and people just leave. Like, why you got to give this commitment? Just stay. Okay. So somewhere due to the course of breakfast, I finally let it go. Because it was too late at that point to be back. So just let it go. I finally let it go. But all through the night and through the part of the morning, I still was thinking about, no, I need to, nah, two Sundays, I can't do that. But let me tell you what I learned. I got back, and now it's Monday. So now it's time for me to start setting up my week to get back to work. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, today, I want you to do everything that you've been teaching them for the past 4 or 5 months. He said, I want you to pray, but I want you to pick a thing specifically, not a bunch of stuff. Come on, y'all. He said, I want you to pick one thing. He said, if you want two, I'll let you have two. But I don't want you to do a bunch of other stuff in prayer. I want you to submit those two things before me. I want you to submit those two things, and I want you to submit whatever scriptures you have that you want to put on them. And then I just want you to be quiet and say nothing else. Now, that's what I've been teaching you. He said, today I want you to do it. So, I mean, like, do it. So, okay, I'm going to do that. So, first thing I want to do is I say, okay, you know, I want to set the mood. You want to get your Christian music, right? Which I don't particularly care too much for a lot of Christian music. So, I said, God, I don't want to listen to Christian music because Christian music distracts me. No disrespect to them and the Christian artists out there. That's what you'll do. But when I'm listening to Christian music, I'm listening to the words and going, nope, that ain't scriptural. You know? So I start like judging it in my mind. And then as a music producer, I start rearranging the song. Okay, that chord should have really went there, and that bass is really doing too much, and he could have done a little bit. You know, in my mind, I'm, again, always busy, always doing. So I knew I don't want to put on any music because now I'm not going to be focused on being in his presence or hearing what he's saying. I'm going to be focused on the words to the song and how the song could have been produced better. See, these are things I deal with that maybe you guys don't share. You're shaking a head at me like, you crazy. But this, if you did music, you would understand. I hear songs, and unless they feel perfect to me, I arrange them in my head. My bass in my mind winds up in my hand. And then before I know it, I turn around and look, and it's literally in my hand. I went and picked it up, and I'm playing it without realizing I went and got it. Not that blackout, but it's really, come on, singers, y'all don't do that. You're singing, y'all hear people singing songs, and you start adding your riff. Well, I would have went, ooh. Yeah, you're right. You do that, right? You start your version of arrangement. Yeah, of course you do. Like you, especially if it's something you praying and they hit a riff you like, and you go, ooh. You want to stop the tape and play that back because I want to learn that riff. And your whole focus goes away. So I'm not alone, right? Thank you. I know I ain't crazy. Let me just ask this question. It may not be musical arrangement, but when you praying before God, do you find it hard to make your mind shut up? See? So it may not be the instrument, but it's something else you start thinking about. The conversation you had last night, what you should have said, what they may have said to you. Some way, somehow, your mind won't shut up. You find yourself drifting off for 10, 15 minutes before you realize, oh my God, I'm not even praying. Right. Mm-hmm. That's true. Okay, so now that we're all on the same page, I'll finish telling my story. So I said, God, I want to put on this music because I really want to be still. I want to hear you. Listen to what I'm about to say. I don't want to make myself hear you. I just want to hear you. How many relate to that? I don't want to, like you turn into a Super Saiyan. I just want to hear you. And I don't want to participate in the process. I just want to be still and hear you. How many want to now hear the rest of this story? So I said, God, I don't want to put on music. It's a distraction. And he spoke to my spirit to go to my iPhone, and I have a sleep app. And it makes ocean sounds and wind and rain and little Zen melodies and all this kind of stuff. And he said, then just put on, find some sounds. And I kept mixing the sounds and blending them again, right? Now that I got the app open, right? I can't just put on the sound. I got to put that sound on. Okay, but the waves are a little too loud. Got to bring the waves down. Bring the trees up a little bit. The crickets are annoying. And I had to adjust the Zen music. And I literally just, for like 10 minutes, mixed down the app so that the sound was soothing to my spirit. Come on now. No, it wasn't. Because once the sound got to a certain place, immediately I felt peace. Okay. Once it, you know, let's say if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I don't do anything. That's how God made me. You talk about it with my food. You tease me about it. Because when I start, I don't want to stop. So I need to put everything where it needs to be. We're good now. Now I can go full guns. That's how I work. I'm that kind of person. I thank God I'm that person. Got that sound just right. And then I close my eyes. And I say, okay, God, here's the scriptures. It was what I've been sharing with you guys. The psalm, what is it? Somebody said, I heard 37. Somebody whispered 37. Go ahead. 37, 4, and one you don't know, but it's Hebrews 4:16. Those were the two God gave me. And I'll go through them in a minute. And then I told them I said, I got two things that I want to submit to you today. You listening? You listening? The two things to me in my natural mind felt very superficial and unimportant in my logic. But they were something that was important to me. And God said to me, pick two things that are important to you. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? And submit them to me. So let me just give you this as a preface, When you go before God with what's on your heart, and then you feel immediately accosted by your thoughts that your prayers and your thing that you're about to pray is superficial, unimportant, and you need to be praying for more important things. So then you start adding, oh, let me pray for the people that have less than me that live downstairs, and let me pray for the children in Somalia who don't have food. And you start throwing that stuff in there just to feel like you're doing the right prayer. You're nullifying your prayer because your prayer is not genuine. You're cluttering it up with a bunch of stuff and package it and stuff so that you can say, okay, God, well, I'm going to pray for all this other stuff that I'm really not super concerned about. And then I'm going to tuck my thing that I really care about up under there somewhere. And hopefully you sort through the mess and answer my prayer. No? Okay. Told you, I learned something, man. God showed me something. He said, what things are on your heart? And I stopped and said, there's a picture that I have that I took 2 summers ago with me and Jeff, where me and Jeff are the same size. I send that picture to you, Rainey, with me. He has on his Superman, I have on a Batman shirt. I said, I want to be that size forever and never struggle with it again. Again, superficial, but seeming, but it was something that was a weight on my heart. I want that and it to never be an issue again about my health and about my weight. That whatever that entails. Now, stay with me. I didn't stay with God, so Lord, teach me how to eat right, and teach me how to diet, and teach me how to stay away from bread, and teach me how to stay away from starch. Now, here's what you did. You told God what you want, and now you're telling him how to do it. How many times have you prayed that prayer? And how many times has it worked? Okay, so you come to the reality that maybe you need to stop trying to tell God how to be God and just submit to him what he asked you for and shut your cotton picking mouth. This is what I learned. So I said that. I don't know how. I don't care how. You asked me to submit it. Here it is. The other thing is, these gifts and talents you gave me should feed me. My gift should bring me before kings. And I'm glad that my bills are paid and I'm blessed in other ways. But I want to be blessed in this way. This is the way my heart desires to live. I want to eat. I don't even want to define what success is. I don't want to tell you what I'm going to deem my road to success. I'm not going to say I need 3 Grammys and 5 Oscars, and I'm not even going to say that. I'm not saying I want platinum. I'm not saying I want gold. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying you know what that success is that you called for me to have. So I want it, whatever that is. But I surprise me. But I want to live off of the gifts and talents you've given me. You said my gift will bring me before kings. That's what I want. Those are the things. I ain't got time to think about you. Yeah, some people don't even have what you have. Yeah, whatever. That's not my problem. You told me to submit to you what's on my heart. And I did. And then I didn't bring up the children in Somalia and the children that Trump's locking away in cages and all that stuff that your mind says, yeah, but people got, yeah, they got their problems today. I'm not led to pray for those. God has asked me, are you listening to me? God has asked you as his child to come to daddy and talk to daddy about what's on your heart. I'll tell you when I want you to pray for all these other things, and I'll tell you when I want you to be concerned about this and that and the other, and I'll tell you when I want you to give me your attention for those things. But today, I just want to talk to you. Just want to talk to you. I said, yes. So my mood thing is playing on my app, and I close my eyes and I begin to pray. And God said this to me. You ready? Don't pray. Meditate. Okay? I thought that was the same thing. Is it really? No, it's not. God says, you know how to meditate. You should take martial art. You know Zen meditation. You know transcendental meditation. You know what meditation means. I'm like, God, but I thought that's like evil stuff. And God said to me, breathing is evil? Then stop breathing. Because that's what they teach you. Focus on your breathing. Don't think about anything else. Think about breathing. Breathe in. Then think about breathing out. And anytime your mind starts to drift again, go back to, nope. Inhale. Exhale. God said, you know how to do it. You used to do it all the time and you felt so much peace. Why does the church give everything to the devil? Why does the church turn all this stuff over to the enemy? Why did we surrender everything so freely? Amen. And as he was talking to me, he said, let me help you understand something. Ready? Moses stood in front of the people, took his staff, threw it on the floor, and it turned into a snake. They'd run him out the church in the middle. Oh, he's a devil. Oh, it's a snake. Did you see what he did? What's wrong with him? Oh, he rebuked you. God said all the gifts. He said the wizards then tried to imitate what he did. And then Moses' snake ate their snakes. And then he picked the stick up to turn back to a stick. Oh, they would have crucified him. They would have called him every kind of witch, warlock, and demon on the planet. God said, you'll turn everything over other than shouting hallelujah and rolling around on the floor and getting emotional. He said, my word says over and over and over, meditate on his word, meditate on his law, meditate, not pray it, meditate. Wow. He said, you gave me two verses. Meditate. And I sat there with my eyes closed, breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth, and just thinking about those scriptures. When my mind tried to drift to something else, nope, breathe, exhale, and all of a sudden, 40 minutes into that, just breathing, God said, the breath is life. Life is the breath. This peace came over me that I've never felt before in my life praying. Never. It was quiet. I felt the presence of his spirit. There was a sense of peace, an anointing that came over me that I never felt before in my life. I was quiet and I was in his presence and I could feel it outside of all religious junk. And you know what was powerful about it? For the whole day it stayed with me, not just for prayer. And the next morning I woke up and I still felt it. And I'm still feeling it today. And I said, God, we've thrown so much of you away. Trying to be deep and spiritual. Trying to explain everything. Well, maybe the Lord. And not just being still. And using the gifts and practices that he's given us. The world knows. This Apple Watch says to me, stop what you're doing. And spend a minute taking deep breaths. Everybody knows the peace in that but the church. We've thrown it away. But I don't need that. I just need to talk to Jesus. Oh, Jesus. 7-11. And as I was praying, God showed me something. He showed me a prayer circle. He showed me people in a circle holding hands, having prayer. And each person expressed all the things they feel they should express in his prayer. And of course, you know, you get people in a prayer circle without even trying sometimes. It almost becomes a competition. Everybody is trying to make sure they sound a little more spiritual and that they're not even praying what they really want. They're not going to say, God, help me keep my weight together in that circle, because they're praying for the country and the nation, the leaders of the world. And it probably has as much power as somebody exhaling air, because they're not committed to it. Are you listening to me? God told me to say two things to him that he knew I was committed to. I don't want to hear all the other stuff that you think you should and could be praying. Just give me the thing that you're committed to today. He said, I give you one, I give you two max. But I just want to know that when you pray it, are you listening to me? You're going to be committed to it in your spirit. God showed me the circle and these people were all praying. And they were all going in and everybody was, hallelujah, yes, hallelujah. And he said, and here's the whole circle. It must have been about 10, 15 people in this circle. And after they finished doing all of that, they said, amen, broke hands, started hugging each other and walking away. And God said to me, that's the most disrespectful thing anybody could ever do to me. the most disrespectful thing. You come to me, before me. They all shared whatever they wanted to share without even asking me first what they should share. And then they said amen and walked away and didn't care what I thought. They felt better about what they did. They didn't care how I felt. God said, picture somebody coming up to you saying, I really just want to know what's on your heart, but first let me tell you a few things. All right? All right, talk to you later. And then turn and walk away before you get a chance to say what's on your heart. God said, that's the most disrespectful thing. It's a practice in the church that's disrespectful to me because they're not concerned about my heart. They're concerned about giving me instructions like I'm a butler or a waiter. So I'm saying today, what is the thing? One, maybe two. And I know a lot of you didn't do it because you didn't come back to me and tell me that in the homework you were given over a month or so ago that you were to take to God in that alone and trust God in that one thing. How many of you saying, I want my life different? I really do. Then this is the process. Let's get rid of all the leftover religious junk and let's have a relationship with our Father that's real. God wants to know the real you. He does know it, by the way. But he wants you to know the real you. He wants you to have the real conversation. If the prayers, it feels in your mind like it's selfish, fine. Let him tell you that. Let him tell you, you shouldn't be praying about that. It's unimportant. And here's what I promise you. You ready? He will never say that. If the hairs on your head are numbered, you don't even care about the hairs on your head. If every tear you cry, he keeps in a vial, do you think that anything you say to him is stupid or irrelevant? Even if it's wrong, he won't count it stupid or irrelevant. He'll guide you through the process. He'll make you whole. He'll make you right. I stand before you today lighter in spirit. Clearer. A deeper appreciation for life and even the air I breathe, and not because I'm telling myself I'm supposed to do that as a Christian. See, there is a difference, isn't it? You're supposed to appreciate every breath you take. All right, you're right, you know, you're right, that's true, yeah, yeah, that's right, you're true, yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's not true. You're saying that because somebody guilted you. You should be grateful for what you have. So I won't complain, even though complain is still in my spirit. I won't whine, even though I want to whine. Well, that's phony. I would rather you whine and let me correct you than you stand in front of me and say all the stuff you think you're supposed to say because I can't help you. It's not me now. I'm talking about you to God. I want you to sit still. And right now, I want you to pick that thing. And like God gave me, I'll give you two. And I want you to go before God with it right now. The thing that's pressing on your heart, not the thing you think you should say as a good Christian. And I want you to right now, like this very minute, go before God with that thing. When you have it, let me see your hand. Amen. 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 When you have that thing that you know is the thing that's on your heart, I want to see it. Just stick a hand up for me and leave it up. Because sometimes God has to show you what it is. Sometimes you don't even know. Father God, those who are not yet sure what they even need to be doing, show them. What they need to be believing, show them. Where their heart needs to be standing right now, show them. Amen. That's one more. Father God, to open it. Oh, yeah, there you go. That's another one. Amen. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep the hand up. I want to make sure I got everybody's, make sure everybody got it. Father God, I pray for revelation that they know what's important. Because some people just don't know what's important on their heart. They just don't even know. They know that they're unhappy about things, but they don't even know what they need to make it right. I pray for wisdom right now that they see what it is. Amen. You can put your hands down. I'm going to read a verse. But those of you who have it, stay with it for a minute. I'm going to read this, my second verse that I had before the throne. And then we're going to take a moment and we're going to pray. Is that okay? So I'm going to Hebrews 4, like I said, in the very last verse. And I'm reading out the Amplified. Starting at verse 15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have shared feelings with our weaknesses and infirmities." Oh my God, let me read that again. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand, sympathize, and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses, infirmities, and liabilities to the assaults of temptation. But one who has been tempted in every respect, just like us, yet without sinning. So let us fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, God's throne of unmerited favor for us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help, well-timed help, coming just when we need it." Don't be afraid, said the drawer of him, because he understands every weakness, every pain. And he'll give us perfectly timed help for every need. Somebody say every need.
Every need.
I ask again, do you have your one thing? Let me see your hands. Those of you who don't, you're joining when you join in. Take a moment and go before his throne with me right now. I'm asking you to, unless you're in a rested position that you're comfortable, I'm going to ask you to sit up straight. If you're comfortable the way you are, I'm fine. But if not, sit up straight. For the next 2 minutes, I just want you to concentrate not on what you submitted, but on just breathing and listening. Ready? Inhale. Exhale. And you don't have to follow my rhythm, but just be still. Just be still. Peace, be still. And let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. And as you're hearing and listening to the voice of God, if your mind starts to drift off to other things, just go back to breathing. Every time your heart tries to drift to something else, go back to breathing, and it'll send you right back to God. In the process, you want to throw a thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord, in there. It's okay. Slowly breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. Thank you, Lord. Don't wrestle with your brain. Just focus on your breathing. Deep breath in. Deep breath out, slowly out. Deep breath in. Exhale out slowly. Ask a question. How many had a little trouble making your mind shut up? Did you finally get it there? Did you start to feel his presence? I don't know if I've ever been in church where it was quiet that long. Anybody? I don't ever remember being in church where it was quiet ever that long. So much activity going on. Show of hands, how many you say, I felt the difference? Good. Practice it. Practice it because I understand now why Jesus left his disciples, ran off into the wilderness. To be alone, away from the noise. People pulling him to the left, to the right with all their prayer requests and all the desires of their hearts. He needed to just get away so he can be quiet before God and just hear nothing but God. I understand now why these religious leaders and Buddhist monks and priests and stuff run off up into these mountains. Right. You just have to clear yourself, and you don't have to run into a mountain. We did it right here in the middle of New York City. It's not the environment on the outside, it's the environment on your inside that's cluttered. I sat there for 40 minutes doing that, 30 to 40 minutes. I don't even know, I lost time. And then stuff came during the week. And because of that state, it bounced right off of me. And the fears and the worries tried to come back. But that moment helped me, it kept me. Yeah, I want to stand up here and share a whole message today. I think I did. I pray that it helps. Pray that you practice it. Nothing is more important to God then your peace, the purity of your spirit and heart, and everything the world does is desired to take that from you. Everything the world does is desired to make you worry about everything. But you're bigger than this. So I ended on this note. Why take you thought for tomorrow? What you will eat, what you will drink. By worrying, can you add 1 cubit, 1 inch to your stature? Seek ye first the presence, the kingdom of God. All these things will be added to you. You got to understand something. The kingdom of God is not seeking heaven or going to a heavenly place. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. The kingdom comes to us, and we live out of the kingdom. We live out of the kingdom. We're just ambassadors, sojourners here. We don't build our life around what we see here. I said this to Jerrica last night, and it kind of threw her off a little bit. It may throw you off a little bit, but I think most of you will get it. I'm going to believe all of you will. There's the spiritual realm. There's the earthly realm. There's the emotional realm or the soulish realm. Spirit, soul, earth, body, physical realm. You listening to me? Those three things pull at you all the time. Right? The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity or God's enemy. Your natural logic and wisdom is the enemy of God. Not God hates you because you have a natural mind. He's saying to you, your natural mind will always fight against God. It will never agree. Never. Is his enemy. Are you listening? Your natural mind fights against truth. When you find a scripture and you stand on and you believe for peace or protection or prosperity or guidance, your natural mind kicks in and says, yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but, or you get a call from the collection agency and all of a sudden you start second guessing if God can provide for you all the things he said. Am I right? Yes. Am I right? Yes. It's his enemy. Those of you who have been walking with the Lord long enough, let me know if you bear witness, know that your natural mind and your spirit function differently, and you need to learn to see what's in your feelings or emotions as different to reality. In other words, the fear that this is going to go wrong and that is going to go wrong in your mind can make you have anxiety, make you have panic attacks, make you have all the symptoms as if it's really happening. And then you could check yourself and say, wait a minute, why am I freaking out about that? Nothing is actually happening. Right. I'm feeling all the rage and the emotion of an argument that I'm thinking about having with somebody that never actually happened. And you stop yourself and you go, but that's not even real. I'm freaking out over thoughts of things in my mind or in my soulish realm that's not even true or real to my body or my reality immediately around me. And you can dismiss things. How many of you bear witness with me? Based on that truth. Why am I freaking out about that? That's not even real. So you start to identify with your earthly position versus your thoughts or the fears that try to come at your mind or your soulish realm, and you can dismiss it by the fact of that equation of truth, right? Where I'm entering into is saying, I want to be able to say both of those realms, what's actually happening to me naturally and what I'm feeling in my soulish realms are not real, is what's happening in the spirit. What God has said is the truth. And everything else has to line up with that. I want to look at my everyday life as this really isn't real. It's really not the real conversation. What the Lord has promised me through his word and through his spirit is real. That may sound crazy to you. Whose report shall you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Everything around me can be spelling failure or stagnant or struggle. But if the word says blessed coming in and going out, and the realm of the spirit, I need to accept that as truth beyond feeling and what I'm going through in the natural. That's the place that I'm entering into. Jericho said, it's like the Matrix. I said, exactly. If that's the way it connects to you, yes. Is that air you're breathing? He said, do you, me beating you here, do you really think it has anything to do with my muscles in this place? It's a construct that they're living out of. But what God speaks needs to be more real to me than what my natural sensations feel. Not saying I've obtained, but this one thing I do, forgetting what's behind me, I press forward to the mark of the high calling. I know that there are people that walked in the Bible and did supernatural, phenomenal things with God on a regular basis because of that relationship. And I haven't seen that in the church or in the life of believers for as long as I've been alive. And I don't want that. I don't want it for me. I don't want it for you. How many of you think I'm crazy? Just a little bit? No? How many of you bear witness? You want that? Yes. This is what we're called to be. We're not a regular church. We're not going to just live out life and die as a church member. We're here with supernatural power of God. The works that I do, you should do also. And then greater works. I've always wanted to know, and I still want to know. So I speak over you by the power of the words given to me and the right given to me to do so as your spiritual leader and pastor by God. I speak over you that every bound and limit is broken. I pray and speak over you that the supernatural is superseding the natural in you, that your thought process is breaking free from all limited human logic to begin to see the bigger picture of God in and for your life. I say that all the natural limitations that have been sown into through experiences fall by the wayside this day, and you come out of your tent, as he instructed Abraham, and count the stars of the sky, for so shall your inheritance be. So shall your seed be. I pray that God begins to illuminate you to all the victories that you've had and not even counted as victories because you made them small in comparison to what you believe you're called to be. I pray that God makes you see every stepping stone that he's put in your way and how high you actually have come in this season of your life. I pray that God gives you an appreciation from a heavenly view of who you are and what you've done and what you are yet to do. I release every stronghold from you right now, and I speak of you the freedom to dream without limit. I speak over you right now the ability to experience God without limit. I speak over you right now the ability to hear God without limit and without fear and without hesitation and without doubt. I speak over you right now that every spiritual seed you sown shall produce a phenomenal harvest of greatness in your life. I speak right now and release over this room the spirit of ease on all the gifts and callings of your life, that you don't have to struggle to figure it out, that God shows you the path and you walk it with purpose, without fear, with comfort, with clear direction. I speak over the house right now that every pressure that's tried to cloud your mind, you can dismiss it easily. You can bind every thought and lead it away captive into the obedience of the knowledge of Christ. I speak over every person in this room that from this day forward, you are on another level. You're on another dimension. You walk in another revelation that the church has thrown away. We claim back every gift that the church has forsaken. We claim back every miracle. We claim back all wisdom or counsel or knowledge or insight or prosperity or health. Everything that belongs to the body of Christ, we say, Father, we receive it by your Spirit. We trust you. We trust you. Teach us to trust you more. We believe you. Teach us to believe you more. Teach us to disassociate ourselves with this three-dimensional natural world and its limitations, and see your limitless possibilities in and on our lives. We accept today that we are greater than the sum of our parts. We accept today, Father, that we have not yet embraced all we are called to be, but we desire from this day forward everything without limit. Everything, with your failures and shortcomings included, God knows the workaround for those too. He's not hindered by even your shortcomings. We surrender ourselves as we are, not as who we think we should be, but just the way we are. You got us this far with who we were. You are not limited by our shortcomings. You can do all things in us, and we can do all things in you, who strengthens us. So from this day forward, we don't count our shortcomings. We don't count our failures. We don't look at anything that has been sent over us that has put us in any bondage. We accept the freedom that comes from being unbound from this world, totally free in your Spirit to be everything that you've called us to be. And we thank you for it, each and every one of us. And those who agreed with me said, amen. Amen. And amen.